You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
I want to talk about mood, states of mind, managing your state of mind, or perhaps more to the point, taking control of your state of mind, and as a result of that, making the most of your life. Or should I say, making the most of your everyday life, starting today. We're in a mood all of the time. I got an email from somebody just a couple of days ago saying that the mood that they were in was outside their control, that they were grappling with the bad behaviour, seriously bad behaviour, of a close family member, and that behaviour made them very, very angry, and they had no choice in the matter. In other words, they thought that the family member was making them angry. We choose our own mood. Regardless of what is going on around us, it is us who decides whether we're in a good mood or a bad mood, or anything in between those two extremes, obviously. To put it another way, we choose the state of mind in which we are at this moment in time. If somebody does something to you, it is a nothing until you process it and decide whether or not you're pleased with the individual, neutral about what has just happened, or that you're frustrated or angry. It is you that makes the decision based on how you process what you think is going on. There are a number of steps involved in what I've just said. Because your mood, your emotional state, if I can put it like that, is the result of you thinking about what you think is going on. Or perhaps more precisely, who you think you are thinking about, who you think you are thinks about what is going on. We're many steps removed from reality. We're lost in the fog of thought when we're using our minds normally. Not only do we not have a clue as to what is actually going on, we automatically react to what we think is going on, and generally speaking, add fuel to the flames. This person emailed me and said that they vehemently disagreed with my contention that we can choose our own mood. Their anger was outside their control, or at least so they think. Now, the interesting thing, before we go any further, about anger is that above any other mental state from which you might be suffering, anger is the one that is most likely to shorten your life the most. In other words, anger will kill you. We know for a fact that ongoing, low-level, everyday background stress will shorten your life by between perhaps 6 or 7 years. Anger is an extreme form of that stress. And anger increases your heart rate, increases your blood pressure, increases the production of bad fatty LDL cholesterol in your body, and damages your immune system and your digestive system. On a power of I don't know what in comparison to ordinary everyday stress, but anger will kill you. And this person said they had no choice in relation to their being angry as a result of somebody else's behaviour. Your life is always going to be on hold when you're not in control of your own emotional state, your state of mind, or your mood. Because psychology tells us that our mood is dictated by the thoughts that we are thinking, and the next thoughts that we choose to pay attention to are, if we're using our mind normally, dictated by the mood in which we find ourselves. In other words, thoughts create the emotional state, and the emotional state picks the next thought to which we pay attention. It's a vicious circle. You know, an awful lot of people tell me that they feel stuck in their lives. The truth of the matter is, if you're using your mind on automatic pilot, your mind is abusing you, and you're not so much stuck as unwittingly letting your life go down the plug hole. You're not living your life at all. So when I said at the beginning of this particular episode, we want to talk about making the most of your everyday life, you're not even turning up to your life if you are not in control of your state of mind. And if you're allowing outside factors dictate your mood and, furthermore, give you the impression that you have no control over the extent to which outside factors dictate your mood. Let's take a simple, practical example of one of the steps that we can take straight off to enhance the experience of every moment of our everyday life. This is a really simple example. I was in the supermarket earlier today, and some lady, I use the term loosely, pushed in front of me in the checkout queue. Now, most people, because I see it all the time, will react to a situation like that. And as we said a couple of minutes ago, when we react, we always make matters worse, because it isn't just that we're automatically reacting. We're automatically reacting to something that mightn't be going on at all. We're only reacting to what we think is going on. So we see people fighting with each other in the queues in the supermarket or in the supermarket car park regularly. Just as an aside, the more aware you become, the more aware you will become of the madness all around you. Indeed, I was talking about this to a group of people a number of years ago, and one of the people in the group mentioned to me that the previous week there was a report in the UK about how two elderly people who should have known better, in their mid-60s, got into a fight over a car parking space in an Asda supermarket car park. One of them pushed the other fell to the ground, hit his head and died, and the fellow who pushed him is now doing time for manslaughter. Our reactions will always make matters worse, and our reactions will always run away with us. But somebody stuck their trolley in front of me in the supermarket this morning, and the normal crazy reaction to that would be perhaps my pushing her trolley and us having a little bit of a kerfuffle and perhaps heated words and definitely raised blood pressure and raised heart rate. Now that would be a reaction to what is going on, a reaction to somebody who was already misbehaving. You don't react to somebody like that, and by that I do not mean that you don't do anything about it. What I mean is you act, which is a world away from reacting. People often get the wrong impression when I make the point that we shouldn't react to the misbehaviour of normal crazy people. They ask me, are we to allow them continue to misbehave that way? Should we not do something about it? And the answer, of course, is we should always act appropriately. Now, you can't act at all, never mind appropriately, if you're not in control of your own state of mind. But once you are in control of your own state of mind, you will be able to do what needs to be done so the other person gets the message. So I simply explained to this lady that there was a queue, that she knew that there was a queue, and that for some reason, unknown to me, she felt entitled to jump the queue. I suggested to her nicely that she get out of my way. This lady was so taken aback, because I suspect she had done it on numerous occasions before and got away with it. This lady was so taken aback, I saw her 5 minutes later, three checkouts up. Again, she was trying to bully her way in front of somebody else. When we're using our minds normally, we react to situations like that. And that makes matters worse for everybody. never mind the two elderly gentlemen having a punch-up in a supermarket car park. That makes matters worse for everybody. But even worse than that, if I react in a situation like that, if I let my automatic pilot choose my reaction as a result of what my automatic pilot thinks is going on, not only have I destroyed my experience of life in that moment, I've set myself up to destroy the next moment of my life too. Because the state of mind in which we put ourselves, not find ourselves, the state of mind that we choose doesn't just set us up for this now, but how we set ourselves up for this now sets us up for the next now, and on and on and on we go. If I'm in the right state of mind, if I'm clear and present, I may not even have to say anything to somebody like that particular individual. A gentle look will dissuade them. And the gentle look isn't the result of my giving them what might be described as the evil eye. It is the result of my being present. Because when you're present, or in other words, when you have presence, your presence and calm is infectious. It is contagious. And even people who are buried up their backside in the world of thought, automatically reacting again and again and again, and indeed thinking that they can jump the queue because they've probably done it many times before and got away with it. Even ordinary people who are buried up their backside to that extent are impacted by people who have presence. We're all impacted by people who have presence because presence is infectious. Indeed, state of mind is infectious. If enough people get annoyed, you'll end up having a riot. We see that around the world at this moment in time. If enough people allow themselves to react to what other people tell them is going on, or indeed to what they think about what other people tell them is going on, you end up having nations fighting with nations, you have riots on the streets, and you have all manner of collective misbehaviour because mood is contagious. Reaction is contagious. And reaction takes us off in a tailspin, one now at a time, in the exact opposite direction to the way in which our lives should be moving forward, one now at a time. Were we in the right state of mind? You don't need to manage your mood. I think that's an important point, because people will often ask me, how do I choose the right mood? Of course, once they've accepted that they have a choice in the matter at all, people will ask me, how do I choose the right mood? You don't need to concern yourself with that. You don't need to worry yourself about that. In the same way as people have often asked me when confronted with a difficult situation or a difficult person, how will I deal with this individual? What will I say when push comes to shove? And my answer always is, you don't have to concern yourself with that. When you are present, you will always do the right thing in the right way at the right time. You will always say the right thing with neither fear nor favour, and your message will always land. Now, that doesn't mean that gentle look in the eye will always work. Some people need to be figuratively, might I add, slapped across the face for the message to land. The fact of the matter is that the message will always be delivered appropriately and effectively when you are present and correct, when you have turned up to the here and now. So you don't have to worry about mood. You don't have to concern yourself with how you can choose one mood over another. In the same way as you don't need to concern yourself with countering negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Positive thinking is still just thinking, and it still is taking you away from the here and now. And indeed, positive thinking may be even more dangerous than negative thinking. We are wired to think negatively, remember, from the perspective of survival in evolutionary times. Positive thinking is bordering on the delusional and will take you ever further away from the reality of the here and now. And in any event, it has no impact on the part of you that creates the joy of living in the moment and experiencing the best out of your everyday life. So how can we experience the best out of our everyday life? How can we I used the phrase earlier on, make the most of each moment of our everyday lives. That actually suggests there is some kind of work involved, some kind of effort involved. There isn't. Life, the flow of life, the joy of life, the joy of being in the here and now and experiencing what's actually going on in the here and now and acting upon it, is a completely effortless enterprise. All you have to do is turn up. So again, people will ask me, how do I manage my state of mind? How do I choose my mood? How do I not become overly emotional in situations where I feel that my thoughts, aka my emotions, are running away with me? How can I do that? The answer is very simple. You just practice being present. You practice being present when it doesn't matter, so that you're fully present when it does. When doesn't it matter? Well, in the privacy of your own space, early in the morning, you can sit down and meditate. And in the morning, we meditate to take control of our state of mind, to be cool, calm and collected, and to be fully present when it doesn't matter. So that during the course of the day, we can be cool, calm and collected and fully present when it does matter. When does it matter? I give you another little story. Many years ago, I was talking at a HR conference in the Excel Centre in London. I was speaking on one of the side stages about being in flow, being in the present moment and doing the right thing and allowing things flow for you. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said to me, that's a really interesting proposition you put forward with regard to how you can turn up to the important moments in your life. And I said to them, that isn't what I was talking about. I was talking about turning up, in as far as it is humanly possible, to every moment in your life. Because how would you know when a moment is important? And they said to me, but surely if I have an interview to go to, because it was a business thing, or if I have a presentation to make, surely they're important moments. They're more important than, you know, standing at the water cooler, getting a glass of water, or going to the loo before I make my speech. And I told them a story from one of my earliest clients when I started working for myself back in 1996, Microsoft. Microsoft in Redmond, just outside Seattle. I was over on the Microsoft campus working with a team, the team who managed Microsoft Money, a product that doesn't exist anymore. Most people are so overly concerned with their finances, I'm surprised that it doesn't exist anymore. But there are plenty of other ways and means of looking after your budgetary requirements. Sorry, that's an aside. I was working with the Microsoft Money team. And one of them told me a story about how one of their friends had come for an interview for a very senior position in Microsoft, in Redmond, just outside Seattle, in Washington State. They arrived at reception, were sat down, and were left waiting for quite a long time, so that they were sitting there long after the meeting was due to start. They were perhaps getting a little fidgety. They may have been getting annoyed. They may have been getting angry, but of course that would have been their own fault. But then they were told to go up to the fourth floor. The Redmond campus is a fairly low-rise set of buildings, or it was at the time. I don't know what it's like now. They got in the lift, prepared to go up to the top floor, and just as lift doors were closing, Bill Gates hopped into the lift. And the interview effectively took place as the fast elevator moved over those four floors. They were totally unprepared. They were totally nonplussed. They assumed that the interview would take place when they reached the fourth floor. You never know when you're going to come across the next most important stranger in your life. We never know what moment is or is not important. In exactly the same way, and I've told this story before, bear with me if you've heard it before, a very good friend of mine, one of my clients in Dublin many years ago, was getting ready to drive into the city centre in Dublin for a very important presentation to a potential client. Were he to win the business of this client, it would have transformed his own business, which was in its early stages at that point in time. Got dressed in his best suit, ran out to the car in the pouring rain, got into the car, turned the key in the ignition, and nothing happened. And he sat there for a couple of minutes, and each time he tried the key, nothing happened at all. The car was dead to the world. He went back inside, got himself an overcoat and umbrella, and ran to the closest bus stop. Now, he was already on the verge of running late, but he could still make his important presentation. He stood at the bus stop for a while, and after quite a while, said to a girl who had been standing there when he arrived, do buses ever come this way? She said, oh yeah, she said, you know, Dublin bus, it'll come when it arrives. And sure, when it does arrive, it might be full and just drive straight past. There was a guy who, were he using his mind normally, would have got totally frustrated. There's nothing he could do about it, but he would have got totally frustrated and angry. Instead, he got chatting to the girl who was standing beside him at the bus stop. And it turned out, as a result of their conversation, that because of the person for whom she worked, he was introduced to a whole new range of clients. And his business took off as a result of an apparently, on the face of it, completely unimportant encounter in the rain at a Dublin bus stop. Did he get the other client's business? Yes, he got the other client's business as well, but that's another story. The point I'm making is that you never know when you're going to meet the next most important stranger in your life. So when I say to you that you need to develop your ability to experience the here and now, one here and now at a time, in order to make the most of your life, I mean every here and now, because we never know what is about to happen. How could we? We could only think we would know. And thinking is the rock on which we all perish. Thinking is the source of our normal reactive way of misbehaving. We need to, I was going to say park our thoughts or leave our thoughts behind. We need to let our thoughts go. Again, people get concerned as to how will they let their thoughts go. How do I deal with my thoughts because they keep encroaching even when I'm meditating? And the answer is, give them time and they'll go away. And they'll go away through regular, everyday meditation. Yes, these thoughts will encroach on your meditation from time to time. That's only natural. We're all only human. But when they do, embrace them. Embrace them as an opportunity to, again, renew your commitment to choosing one moment at a time, one now at a time, that I am present in the here and now. A thought, a distraction is a blessing, just like a challenge is a perfect moment waiting to happen. And by that I mean any or every challenge in your everyday life is an opportunity for you to shine your unlimited inner potential on the moment. And do just what needs to be done in the moment to resolve whatever challenge is confronting you at that moment in time. It's all about turning up. It's all about being present. Presence is the optimum state of mind. We talked early on in this episode about mood. We talked about how we are automatically in a mood if we're using our minds automatically. That stands to reason, doesn't it, when you actually reflect upon it. We talked about how all mood, all emotional reaction is a choice made by ourselves, albeit most of those choices being automatic. We need to disengage the automatic pilot. It hasn't a clue what it's doing. Consider this. If I reacted to the person pulling in front of me in the supermarket queue this morning, my reactions wouldn't be based on what that person had just done. My reactions would be based on somebody who had been mean to me when I was 3 or 4 years old. That is the program I've been carrying around with me since that age that enables me, that's clearly the wrong word, react to what I think is going on. I've no idea what's actually going on in the here and now if I'm using my mind normally, nor have you. It is incumbent upon us to take control of our state of mind. And again, I shouldn't even use those words. It suggests there's some big effort involved. It is incumbent upon all of us to allow ourselves simply be. Just turn up to the present moment. Don't judge what's going on in the present moment. Let the inner you, that is full of potential and full of understanding as to what is really going on, let the inner you allow you do what needs to be done. And by the way, sometimes the best thing to do is nothing at all. But allow the inner you take you by the hand and lead you forward one now at a time. So you do the right things in the right way at the right time. So that you say the right things in the right way at the right time. And that then, through your flowing one moment at a time, through your day, you begin to experience the opportunities and synchronicities that abound in our everyday lives, that are like signposts from the universe, from universal flow, the energetic flow of the universe, that are like signposts that show us the way forward to the life that is best for us. This is completely different from you having a plan to get what you think you want. This is completely different from you having a to-do list that you will slavishly follow to make your way through the day. This is completely different from you wondering when something is going to happen and getting frustrated when it hasn't. This is completely different from you wondering about the future, because all wondering leads to worrying about the future. This is a completely different experience of the reality, the wonderful reality, the deep joy, that's an expression from some program owners, the deep joy of experiencing the here and now. Making the most of your everyday life really is a very poor description of what we're talking about here. We're talking about allowing yourself through choice experience absolute joy moment to moment. Now, I said through choice. Does that mean that you have to make the choice every moment? In the same way, as I said earlier on, we don't know which moment might be an important one and which one isn't. All of them are potentially important. Does that mean that we have to choose moment to moment? No, it doesn't. What it means is that I need to meditate in the morning. That develops my ability to be present. Now, it does much more than that. It restructures the subcortical brain. So the parts of my brain that will take me by the hand and enable me do what I need to do and say what I need to say are restructured in a way that they behave completely differently, and that they are switched from their evolutionary presetting of just focusing on potential threats to focusing, obviously, on potential threats. We need to keep one eye on that, but focusing on the opportunities and, as a result of that, creating the synchronicities that lead us forward to the life that is best for us. So we need to meditate every morning. Now, we're all only human, so some mornings we won't meditate. And the last thing you should do if you miss a morning is get annoyed with yourself about it. That's going all the way down the plug hole all over again, isn't it? No, we need to simply let ourselves be, but develop our ability to be fully present in the moment. Morning meditation. In the early stages of developing this ability to simply be in each and every moment, we will have to pull ourselves up. That is what mini meditation, something that I've referred to on numerous occasions before, mini meditation will allow us call ourselves back to attention so that we are aware of how we are feeling. And, you know, even if we're aware that we've lost the plot, that awareness is the most important thing. Because now I'm aware all over again. This is a process in developing our awareness to the point that we are so aware we are just flowing through the moment now and the next moment now, one now at a time, to the point where we don't need to make a conscious choice anymore. The process of consciously choosing to sit down every morning to meditate, the process of consciously choosing to call ourselves to attention during the course of the day. These little choices that we will make snowball. As I said earlier on, if you're in the wrong state of mind and you react in a now, you've set yourself off on a trajectory that is no good to anybody and, most importantly, damaging to yourself and your health and well-being. But if I choose to be present in the here and now, that snowball rolls in a completely different direction and it gets to the point where it has a momentum all of its own. All you need to do is let yourself be. All you need to do is turn up to your life. Your subcortical brain, the inner you, the you that is full of potential and full of creative potential, and by that I mean when we experience synchronicities, they're not just things that happen to us or for us. These are things in which we have a creative hand. When we simply are, the unlimited you will allow you dance through your day, step through each now effortlessly, and allow you begin to experience something that anybody with whom I've ever worked has experienced again and again and again. And that is that, and this is a quote, it is amazing how things just keep falling into my lap. Another quote along the same lines, it is amazing how things just happen. Now, you and I know that nothing just happens, but everything just happens when we do the one thing that we need to do. Turn up to the here and now.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-.